My name is Aurélien Bouteau. I am a French consultant, and my work is, well, my job is to try to help local authorities and also governments in their implementation of sustainable policies. And I notably work for the Greater Lyon, but not only, also many other local government and authorities in France and in Switzerland. And I am also supposed to be a specialist of sustainability indicators. Can you?
Let's get this nearer to you. Yes, okay.
Does it work? Yes, it works.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, yes. No
Shout
problem.
Up just a little bit. Okay. It's, the morning is coming to an end.
Yeah. It's time for food. And so I was saying, yes, I'm supposed to be a specialist of indicators of sustainability and notably ecological footprint and biocapacity. And I want to try to make a link in this presentation between concepts and local action through ecological footprint and biocapacity, which are, of course, indicators of sustainability. So 3 points in my presentation. I will try to make a very short presentation, and I hope I will have about 15 minutes. Okay. So first of all, from the concept, a few words about sustainability and natural resources. I'm going to talk about ecological footprint and the way it has been used by local actors, local governments in France notably. But it's very important to know where we come from. We come from a concept and we try to go to local action. And for doing this, for doing from the concept, going from the concept to the local action, sometimes we need tools, and we need notably some kind of tools like ecological footprints. And so the idea of this presentation is to go first on the concept, and then how do we go from the concept to its measurement, and then how we can we go from the measurement to local action. And notably, the idea is to see what is the feasibility and the relevance of an indicator like an ecological footprint at a local scale. Probably some of you know this painting. I'm sorry, it's a French painting, as you, well, a Belgian painting, but it's in French. Ceci n'est pas une pipe, which means this is not a pipe. Well, it's amazing because it really looks like a pipe, don't you find? The idea of Magritte, of course, was to say this is not a pipe, this is a painting. And what I'm meaning about indicators, it's exactly the same. We're trying to have some kind of a representation of what we could call the real world, which means that with indicators, we're trying to make a construction, something which makes information available for stakeholders, for the decision-making process. So it's very important in this introduction to understand that the aim of an indicator is to translate a concept, for example, sustainability, natural capital, natural resources, into what we could call a signal. A signal, it can be statistics, but it could be a green light or a red light, for example. And all this to make the information available for decision making. Saying decision making here, I also mean stakeholders and population. So this is the basic principle of indicators. So first about the concept. When we talk about ecological footprint, we have to say a few words about, of course, sustainability, because a very easy way to define ecological footprint and biocapacity, it would be just to say those are indicators of sustainability. The problem with sustainability is that we have to face different definitions of it. But what we can say is, well, since the Brundtland report, we generally define sustainability as the idea of not compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. This is something everyone agrees about that definition, but the problem is that what appeared to be in the 1990s and in the years 2000 as a kind of a loose consensus, in fact, it became, it appeared in the 1990s notably that there are very different approaches of sustainability. And in one hand, to be very simple, just two approaches. what we call weak sustainability, what economists mainly call weak sustainability. What is it? To the question, what do we bequeath to future generations? Weak sustainability considers that we must bequeath to future generations the same amount of capital, meaning natural capital, but also artificial capital, what we could call human-made capital, thanks to green growth technologies. And the idea behind this is that we don't need that much to change our way of life, because technologies will make it possible for future generations to confront the problems of ecological sustainability. For example, conventional petrol could be replaced by unconventional petrol, and then by biomass, etc., etc. Another definition of sustainability is strong sustainability, and it's almost the opposite. To the question, what do we want to bequeath to future generations? Strong sustainability answers that the natural capital cannot be at all substituted by artificial capital. And we must adapt, change our way of lives today in order to respect the limited carrying capacity of the world ecosystem. For example, conventional petrol must be replaced by renewables, and mainly we must do that by consuming less energy. So as you can see, with a global concept like sustainability, the problem is that behind the global consensus, you can have very divergent approaches and, of course, very divergent policies. So how do we make an indicator of sustainability? Why we have so different definitions of sustainability? Well, as you can see, many things in the economic debate is about the definition of natural capital and what we can do with natural capital. So in the literature in economy, you can find several definitions of natural capital, but critical natural capital, which is a part only of natural capital, is often defined as the living part of the biosphere, which is necessary for human activities to develop, with 2 points. First of all, furnishing renewable resources, notably biomass, and secondly, sequestrating pollutions, for example, sequestrating CO2 emissions. So the idea of ecological footprint was to try to give a measure of this natural capital, what I called critical natural capital. And the hypothesis is this one. To keep this natural capital intact, it's necessary first not to consume more renewable resources than what ecosystems can produce and regenerate in the long term. This is what we call in general renewability. And in the other hand, not to generate more waste and pollutions than natural ecosystems can assimilate and absorb. This is the notion of carrying capacity, even if in ecology, carrying capacity is a more complex concept. So the very basic idea is just to note that human systems just work as any organic system. It takes resources and it produces some pollutions and wastes. And so quite an easy way to try to make an accounting system of this is just to see that in the biosphere, we have areas which have this capacity to produce renewable resources and also to assimilate wastes. And those areas, we call them in the ecological footprint accounting system, bioproductive areas. And from this, we then build an accounting system with, in one hand, the available quantity of bioproductive areas which is available on Earth. That's what we call biocapacity, the offer. And on the other hand, the necessary quantity, what it takes, of bioproductive areas of land and water to produce the resource that we consume and also to absorb some of our waste, mainly, in fact, CO2 emissions. This is what we call ecological footprint. And the idea of the ecological footprint accounting system is just to compare both. So if we take biocapacity first, Biocapacity, the calculation of biocapacity at the worldwide level, even if we have calculation at local levels and also national levels, at the worldwide level, it is mainly based on the data of the United Nations, the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization. We consider that we have about a world biocapacity for the year 2008 of about 12 billion hectares. And in the same time, if we make the calculation of ecological footprint for the same year, 2008, we have a global footprint of about 17.5 billion hectares. So the world footprint in 2008, what we did consume, was more important than what was possibly produced. Basically, it means that in 2008, humanity has used more natural services than what can be renewed. First, because we have emitted more CO2 than what the biosphere can sequestrate. And secondly, because we have consumed more renewable resources than what can be renewed. Typically, this is the case with fish. We know that we have diminishing stocks, notably because our ecological footprint is more important than the biocapacity. So this is a very global accounting system. If we have a look now at the results, probably you've seen these results before, but very briefly. In 2008, we have an available biocapacity per capita of nearly 2 hectares per capita. So that is what is available. This is the biocapacity. Our ecological footprint per capita is about 2.7 hectares per capita. And the difference between both is what we call an ecological overshoot. But of course, this is an average, a world average. If we have a look at the ecological footprint by continent or subcontinent, we can see that we have very different ecological footprint from one continent to another. This is probably not a surprise for you, but we can see on the graph quite clearly that, for example, North America has an average ecological footprint of nearly 8 hectares per capita. Europe is about 5 hectares per capita. For France, it's about 5 hectares per capita also. And for Africa, the average ecological footprint is about 1.3.4 hectares per capita. So it just means that if everyone has to live like a European, it would take two planets and a half in order to be sustainable in a strong definition of the notion of sustainability. So what to do with as you can see on the graph also, we made the calculation at local levels. The Greater Lyon made the calculation of its ecological footprint a few years ago, and the result was 4.9 hectares per capita, let's say 5 hectares per capita, which is close to the average of for Europe, with a population of about 1,300,000 people. So if we have a look at a more detailed view, for example, at the ecological footprint at the Greater Lyon, what can we say? We can see, for example, that we have about one third of the ecological footprint of an inhabitant of Lyon, which is due to food. About one third of its ecological footprint is due to its consumption of goods and services. And about one third of the ecological footprint is due to its mobility and also housing. And we can do this calculation, and that's one of the interesting things I find with the ecological footprint. We can do the calculation even at the individual level. What did the Greater Lyon a few years ago? It was to propose to, we have now several hundreds of people who have been calculating their ecological footprint in Lyon. Just an example, Guillaume living in Lyon, he has an average ecological footprint of about 4.9 hectares, is not very good compared to the average in terms of mobility, but it's not too bad for housing and food. So it's interesting to see that 4.9, it's an average, but in Lyon, but people can have very different ways of life and so very different ecological footprints. The important thing, just before the conclusion about this ecological footprint, what we notice it clearly when we do that kind of calculation at the local level, and with colleagues of mine, we are going to calculate the ecological footprint for the 22 regions of France. When we do it at a regional level, we can have quite good accurate data. But when we want to make a calculation at a very local level, it's much more difficult because we clearly have a lack of consumption and other material and flow data at this level. So clearly it leads to less accurate results. And it is approximately the same when we want to calculate biocapacity. Also, and I think it is more important, this index, ecological footprint, has been used in many different places around the world. It has been calculated in tens, probably hundreds of local authorities, local governments. And clearly, we can notice that there's a difficulty to use ecological or carbon footprints as key indicators for guiding local authorities' policies. And another thing also is that ecological footprint has mainly been used as a tool for communication in order to make people understand what sustainability means. But it's much more difficult than when it's time to make a public policies, for example, to find this indicator as a guiding tool for policies. So this will be my conclusion. 15 minutes. A few conclusions about the use of ecological footprint and biocapacity at a local level. First of all, it has to be noticed that clearly this is a very powerful tool for just showing the link between a way of life here and today, and the challenges of sustainability, which are very often elsewhere around the world and also tomorrow. So I think this is one of the main reasons why we have hundreds of local authorities around the world who have calculated their ecological footprint and their biocapacity. We must not forget that, of course, the more an index, an indicator is aggregated, and this is the second important thing, I think. The more it is aggregated and the more it is sexy, I should say. But of course, the more we tend to ignore important things. Today, if we had to make policies based upon ecological footprint, clearly we would have to remember that there are many things that are not taken into account in such a global index. For example, toxics, radioactivity, biodiversity, all this, of course, is not taken into account in the ecological footprint accountability system. The third important point, as I was saying just before, is that we have a lack of available and comparable data at the local scale, which makes it very often difficult to calculate such indicators. And the last and probably most important things, we've had in France among the last year several studies showing that these tools like ecological footprint notably, they are mainly used in order to communicate, but with very few impact on the decision-making process. So what is important, I think, for local governments and what people want clearly, it's a better knowledge of natural resources at the local, regional level, and both at the consumption and production stages. At the consumption stage, it means that clearly today we have very few available data concerning final consumption at the local level. And it's even difficult to sometimes calculate biocapacity at a local level. So really we need a better knowledge of natural resources at this level. But mostly, we have to think about how can we have a better inclusion of these indicators in the decision-making process, because today we've been using ecological footprint for about 15 years, and the less that we can say is that there has not been the changes are very few. I mean, very. So it's very difficult to, I think, to take into consideration the problems that ecological footprint can reveal, and it's very difficult to include this in the decision making process. And this is really something we have to take into account, because we can make brilliant and very accurate data systems, but if they are not clearly integrated in the decision making process, it's about to be useless, I think.
Actually, my own perception is that overall, in terms of raising awareness and finding solutions, I think that the ecological footprint had a rather negative impact and on balance. I will say that I share very much what has been presented in a relatively famous paper in Ecological Economics by Fiala, why ecological footprint is bad economics and bad environmental science. I'm an economist, and from the economic viewpoint, I would say yes, Fiala is right. This is very bad economics. And maybe what we could discuss is whether this makes sense in terms of environmental science. And second remark is that, since I met Matisse, I'm much more skeptical about his motivations.
Matisse Wagner.
He's a kind of businessman. And I would say that, since it failed, to be polite. Failed to raise awareness, failed to contribute to... it failed. We have to find other ways. And we have to understand why this is not an appropriate indicator and how we could devise appropriate way to communicate.
And I'm sure as an economist you have a solution. Pardon? I'm sure that as an economist you have a solution.
I'm here because I'm seeking ways to contribute to this result. And what has been mentioned this morning in terms of providing information to all the stakeholders seems to me I'm absolutely critical.
Are there any other seekers who wish to comment? Yes, another.
Yeah, the way you calculate the ecological footprint are underestimating potentially very, very much. And there are at least two reasons for that. First of all, you do not consider the potential evolutionary impact. The cod off the coast of Newfoundland did not recover, most probably because evolution had occurred. And the other point is the remaining genetic variants that remains in the population. Again, that was most likely low in the Newfoundland cod. And we are impacting environment evolutionary to a large extent in some of the systems we are manipulating. So it can really be very, very biased. So I'm not going to comment on the economic part, but I am going to be, I'm very critical about it, underestimating the ecological part of it, or the biological, I should say.
Yes, I think everybody agrees with the fact that we always underestimate the real ecological footprint of humanity for many reasons. And notably also, as I was saying, not taking into account the toxics, for example, while it will have an impact on the biocapacity of the world. So there are many problems like this.
But could I follow up that? Because if it's going to be used in management and you are underestimating the impact, you can come really bad off.
Exactly.
Really.
It's exactly the same. We have, with ecological footprint, I think, exactly the same problem that we can have with a global index, a global economic index like GDP. You can have really bad politics just by wanting to improve GDP. And it's the same with ecological footprint and biocapacity. And for example, some people just pretend that we can enlarge biocapacity. And some will consider that the most important is to reduce our ecological footprint. And those are very two diverging approaches. And so it's a global indicator. I'm not sure we have to base our public policies on such an indicator, but it's not completely uninteresting, I think.